Hello and welcome to My Mom's Basement, presented by 3Chi and Barstool Sports, and another Mandalorian edition of My Mom's Basement. I am joined, of course, by the Baby Yoda to my Mandalorian, the Frog Husband to my Frog Lady. Clem, how we doing?
I just noticed as you were reading that, 3Chio. Like, see, 3CPO? 3Chio? We could 3Chio. Make that work.
We got to figure that out, especially like the Rise of Skywalker version with the red eyes. I mean, that's
it's
perfect.
They have to come out with some sort of vape. It's like it looks like the little gold armor and all that stuff. It lights up the red of the eyes. That's the My Mom's Basement special edition one.
Oh, my
get
God.
Get it out by Black Friday.
Like a cartridge. Could you imagine that? That would be absolutely fire. In like a R2-D2 type battery. That would be amazing. Shout out to 3Chi. I mean, we could start off the podcast with an ad because they sent me an amazing shipment this week. They sent me the gummies, the black raspberries, the comfortably numb. They sent me like 8 different cartridges, a bunch of new ones to try. They got like cannabis infused terpenes now. I mean, the stuff is amazing. If you're not aware about 3Chi, if you're not sure what we're talking about, it is federally legal THC. They sell gummies, cartridges, tinctures, anything you would want. It's a federally legal version of THC, like I said, and the effects are the perfect hybrid of CBD and Delta 9, which is what you would find in marijuana. It gives you that similar buzz and all of the medicinal effects without the laziness, the anxiety, the paranoia, the mental fogginess. I use this stuff every day. I've been sucking on my C3CO all weekend. The stuff is amazing. I always have to hit it before Mandalorian, make sure I go to a galaxy far, far away. If you guys want to use 3Chi as well, use the promo code Robbie at their website. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at 3Chi.com. The number 3CHI.com, and you will receive 5% off your total order. You must be 21 or older to purchase. You will fail a drug test with this stuff, but it's amazing if you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you got to get it now before, like I said, lockdown's coming, but we don't know how the world's going to shut down again. Get it in now so you have your stuff all ready to rock. We're going to be not leaving the house. We'll probably do another fucking Star Wars full rewatch. We'll do a Mandalorian rewatch. We will not be anywhere near this galaxy because it's going to be really boring. So we're going to go somewhere else thanks to the people at 3CHIO. I came up with it and I still can't even say it.
No, it is tough to say. We're going to have to work on that. Let's talk about The Mandalorian this week, Clem. We had an episode directed by Carl Weathers, as we teased last week. And what was your viewing conditions this week? I feel like we always start off on like, how did Clem watch the episode this week?
So I put it in my notes. It's the first thing in my notes. I have made sure to dive around, and I kind of like being able to do that now because I messed up last week. I thought I watched it at 9 a.m. I watched it at 6 a.m. before the kids got up. It was, again, that 35-minute sweet spot for me. So I was like, all right, I can get it in. So that's why I was so triggered with some of the shit that was going on with Baby Yo. This week, it went off the rails, Bob. I woke up at 2 a.m. Thursday night into Friday morning, and it was like, I was like pretty much wide awake, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, you go on the phone, the blue light goes in your face, you're kind of scrolling to nowhere, and I'm looking at the clock, and I was like, fuck it, 2:30? Let's roll. Let's see what it's like. We'll do the Bob Fox experience. I'm sure there are plenty of you listening at home or on the road or wherever you are right now who do this probably fucking weekly because you're fucking crazy, and I love you. I decided to go with it. I'm too old for that, man. I was in fucking no man's land. Listen. Fun episode, good episode. I got to make sure I don't say every episode's great. I don't want KFC to come at me next.
I know that guy. We're going to have to put a bounty on that guy.
But yeah, so I did watch it at 3 a.m. I don't know how you guys do that every week. Again, I was nodding off by the end. It's also because I'm old. It wasn't anything to do with the episode, obviously. I'm happy I did get it done by like Friday night. It felt like Mando was like 4 years ago the last time I
know.
Watched it. It was
that
such
is
a distant
issue.
Memory.
It feels like you have a year in between every episode when you do it like that. Yep. But man, if people could have seen the smile on my face when you told me you did the old Bob Fox stay up till 3 a.m. Yep. That is tremendous. At least you did it once. You get the experience. It's like when we went to see Endgame in 4D and the chairs just beat the shit out of us. We're like, all right, we're not going to go back, but we got the experience once.
Exactly. So I'm all over the place now. I've done 3 a.m., 6 a.m., 9 a.m., Saturday at 10 p.m. Out of all those things, I will say, I think the 9 a.m. Experience, if you can get work it around your work schedule. So for me personally, if you're in your mid-late 30s with kids, That is the sweet spot for me personally. I don't think Bob Fox will ever be able to, like, it's like Christmas morning, I feel like, every Thursday night for Bob. So he's ready to wake up and unwrap his little baby Yoda present under the tree every single morning. But for me, I think 9 a.m. was my sweet spot. But it's also like that's when the coffee's working, the kids are all at school, hopefully, and all that kind of shit. And the three-seat Chio is really being able to you know, get its claws into me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it does really feel like Christmas Eve every week. And every Friday morning, I wake up, it feels like Christmas morning. We get Baby Yoda, 6 a.m. That's what I did this week. And we get right into it. This episode starts off with a little Baby Yoda scene. And we mentioned this in the Lights, Camera, Barstool recap, which you could check out on their YouTube page. But this was a scene straight out of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. This was Groot, little baby Groot with his, do not press button, the detonator. And Mando is trying to get Baby Yoda to connect these wires. It's not really working out. Blows a fuse, and then they share some coffee. We also get in the cold open a little Cara Dune action sequence. She's been living in the covert tunnels, and we now know that she's a marshal because we see the little guys from the cantina, and they're like, oh shit, the marshal, as they're trying to kill her ferret. So cool cold open, a lot of action in the Cara Dune sequence that really set the tone for the episode right away.
Yeah, so I had the same exact thing in my notes. The baby, it was big time baby Groot vibes. Little bit of R2-D2 too. R2 would always be in there trying to fix the hyperdrive, whatever the fuck is going on. And this goes, I have my sports analogies every week. And then also with Baby Yo, I have kind of the parental side of things. I basically did the same thing that Mando was doing. Because again, I got very triggered that he's letting Baby Yo working with wires and he's fucking getting like electrocuted. It's 3 a.m. I'm in no place to watch Baby Yo fucking turn into a little omelet or something like that. However, I was telling AJ, like, AJ, this is, we hit this button on the TV and then hit that button. And I'm just like trying to get my 2-year-old to basically do shit he shouldn't be doing. And like the TV could fall off the wall or something like that. But sometimes when you're just lazy or you just like, once you teach your kids how to do certain things, like this is how you open the refrigerator. This is how you open a can of beer. This is how you bring it to daddy. You realize like that's the reason you change all those diapers. Everything works out in the end. So I kind of understood where Mando was there. Someone asked this last week. Does Mando change the diapers?
Ooh, good question. I mean, he probably does because at the end of this episode, when Baby Yo has a little spit up, he immediately starts to like clean it up. That's and he's true. Very parental in that sense. I bet he does change the diapers.
Yeah, like you'd be like, damn, dude, you can use the force. Like, can't you just shit into the air and like throw it out the window or something like that? When they said Navarro as the planet, I was pretty sure we were going back to obviously the planet where we had met them the first time. I was hoping for that MILF, and what was my line? They were going to like
hit knock skins
or something like that. Hit skins, yeah. I was thinking of like in late 90s lingo there. Hit skins with the MILF on the forest planet, not to be. Shout out to Pussy Face people. I don't know what they're called. Pig Nose and Pussy Face are two of my favorite guys from the old Mos Eisley Cantina. Happy to see them back in the life. Kara fucked everyone up. I thought we were going to get that little ferret, which was chittering, by the way. That was the closed caption to describe that little sound he was making. I thought that ferret was going to be a badass little species that was going to kind of like rear its head later on. But I guess that was kind of just their way to say, hey, there's a fucking new sheriff in town and she's one badass motherfucker. Jesus.
Yeah, I thought the ferret would meet Baby Yo at some point. I thought they would come face to face. They wound up not coming face to face. But like you said, they go to Navarro and the planet looks a lot different from when we last saw it. It's a lot more colorful. Even Greef Karga and Cara Dune are wearing more colors. And he lands the Razor Crest, is in bad condition. This thing, it looks like KFC's car. And they tell him, oh, here, fix the ship, whatever. Hire an alien crew to do it. And then you get the shot of the one singular alien looking mischievous. And you're like, oh, okay, this is the spy. That's the Star Wars spy shot. We've seen it in so many movies. You know, the penis face in A New Hope. There's the one, BB-8 is here with the Resistance at Force Awakens. It's in so many different Star Wars movies. But we had that. They take the Mandalorian into town now. Jeff D. Lowe mentioned that there was an IG-11 statue somewhere in town, but I didn't spot it. Even on my rewatch, I wasn't able to see it. So it might be a little background detail. And they drop Baby Yoda off at school because they were like, hey, we got to tell you about a mission. Let's drop Baby Yoda off here. And he's like, the bar? I'm surprised this place is still standing. They say, you should see it now. And we got a full-on classroom. It kind of looked like the prequels when they're like teaching the little Jedi Padawans. You got a protocol droid in the front. Again, Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni. These arms are tiny enough to fit into one of those suits. Mm-hmm. I would love to have that as a role. And I was worried when Baby Yoda went into that classroom that he was going to use the Force in a big way. He's going to fuck some kid up if he got bullied and everyone is going to be on to him. we didn't get that. He just stole some cookies.
Yeah, I was screaming at the TV again, like, just feed the kid. You got to feed him a meal so he doesn't snack. You can't have him just loading up on snacks. It's not good for Baby Yo. He's not the healthy way to live. I feel like Baby Yo species, they're big on, like basically the Hakuna Matata diet, right? A lot of grubs and then some granola bars like he was eating from Luke's. Actually, he didn't really like the granola bar in Dagobah now that I think about it, right? Did he kind of like throw it to the side after he took a little nibble of it?
Yeah.
So maybe granola bars aren't up the Baby Yo. But anyway, the town thriving. Like, what is our timeline here? Do we really have like an idea of how long it's been since we left? Because it was fucking thriving. It was really doing well. I was, again, very upset where he's just leaving him behind and he's like, oh no, this place is good. Me I understand too. That they have to kind of do, they don't want, you know, they could lay a whole story. It would be another 5-10 minutes, not worth it, whatever. It still does bother me to this every single time. My buddy Pally said there was a girl who had the same hair as Ray.
Yep, and I don't know. I noticed that.
You notice that too? Yep. I don't know if that seems like it would be a little extreme if it was Ray. I feel like it's probably just a very popular hairstyle in the spot. But that would be interesting if she was kind of in the background. And yeah, I mean, just pretty crazy to see how things can change and get to the, you know, better in this series. You know, we're throwing progressions from one season to the next.
Even Baby Yoda in the beginning, I felt like they were showing like he's learning some things. Like he's starting to become a little more aware. He was starting to put the wires together right at first, and then he screwed it up. So I feel like they're showing a little progression with him, progression in the town, like you said. And that was kind of the basis of the episode. They're like, look how great the town is doing now. There's one Imperial base left on this planet. If you can help us destroy it, the black market people won't come here. They won't be able to get the weapons. They won't be able to build that up. We will be completely free. This is your side quest for the mission. Can you help us out? And he's like, listen, I don't have an option not to, because this is the television show. I accept side quests, my friend. And someone that I completely didn't expect to see in this episode was the Mithril from episode 1, played by Horatio Sanz. He is present at Greef Karga's, I don't even know what you call it, his office, his little police station type area in Navarro. And when he sees Mando, he releases like, I don't even know, a mist out of his gills, which you could tell is he's intimidated. He's, you know, obviously scared shitless of Mando. Hysterical scene.
Yeah, fish guy spray is what he's nervous. That was my 2 cents on it. I do kind of like that. I would love if everything that every emotion that was extreme, he would do something like if he saw like a hot chick, just like fucking it's coming out of the fucking dick. He just spray it everywhere. That was like his like nervous, you know, tick or whatever. I obviously will get into what happened. I didn't trust him from the jump. I just was like, this guy's fucking no good. Obviously, it goes back to the first episode. Fucking Carl Weathers is just like, oh yeah, I'll take off another 20 fucking years or whatever. I would have just been like, go fuck yourself, or I'll kill you, or I'll leave you stranded and I don't have to listen to anybody's thing. But again, another Girl Scout badge. Nando's like, all right, time to get another Girl Scout badge on the armor. So it felt like we were going back into the same old thing, but that's kind of just how this show's gonna go.
I remember in season 1, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni describing the show as them playing around with all of the action figures nobody else wanted in Star Wars. And I thought that was such a neat description. And that's what him coming back, the Mithril coming back, reminded me of. Like, you always have that one action figure as a kid that never really gets played with much, but you always bring it back and it's like, oh, he's the same character. I don't know. He's the Mithril. And that's what he is to this series. It's like, he's the shady Mithril guy. And he's comedic relief character. He's got a bunch of life debt to pay off. And he was pretty funny in this. I felt like Carl Weathers throughout the entire episode with his directing, like, had pretty good sense for comedic timing.
Yeah, it felt Star Wars-y. It had its funny stuff. Like, he kind of hit all those, like, notes you have to hit for a Star Wars show, movie, whatever it may be. Thumbs up. And kind of getting back to your thing about the toys, like, that is one of the things I never thought of. Obviously, you had your big gun toys who were, like, the main characters of the show, or the wrestlers, if you were the wrestler. And then you had, like, the mid-card guys. But what you did with those crappy toys, and I like you saying this triggered. I mean, these are memories, cobwebs. I'm pulling aside of my brain right now. Like, I fucking made those shitty toys, characters I didn't even know who they were. Like, they weren't even like on the episode of the show I saw. I would make those fucking guys more fun than anyone else, which I guess kind of just what you have to do when you're a kid and you're creative, just having fun. And it's funny watching my kids like kind of do the same thing with their toys. I like that's a really cool way to describe the series and stuff like that. That's really cool. I like that line.
And when you look at all the characters, it fits too. Like, look, Queel is a little guy from Empire Strikes Back, the little Ugnaught, like nobody wanted that. And then it's IG-11, the thing that was bolted to the ground and couldn't move. Then you've got the Mandalorian, which is the cool one. It's the Boba Fett, of course. But like all of the little characters, the Jawas, the sand people are a big factor in the show. It's a perfect description of the Mandalorian. So Mando accepts this. They go over to the Imperial base via speeder, driven by Horatio Sands. And the kind of concept is, it's surrounded by lava and it's got a cooling station. And if they just shut down this cooling station, the whole thing will become engulfed by lava, flames, whatever. So they try to get up this elevator. It's kind of a comedic moment with Horatio Sands. He's like, I don't want to get out of the speeder. Mando winds up going straight up. It does look pretty abandoned. He kills a couple stormtroopers on the way, but they wind up just going down to the, I don't know what you call it, the tractor beam, like the thing that Obi-Wan shuts off in A New Hope. And they made a joke that I think was pulled from Blue Harvest. Our guy, Alex Sulkin, they were like, well, there's no guardrails on this. They make that, you know, obviously reference in Blue Harvest where they're like, why does the Empire never install guardrails for us? If that's for real, shout out to Alex Sulkin for slipping a joke into Star Wars canon.
I mean, that's an all-time Rick Dalton, like, point of the TV. And, I mean, if anyone didn't watch, I know we did a few things with Lights, Camera, Barstool and the rewatches and podcasts and all stuff. He's done stuff with you as well. But, I mean, I joined – what did we rewatch with him? Was it Phantom Menace?
I think it was Empire.
Was it Empire? Shit, that would make sense. Empire was kind of the big one.
And we did Raiders of the Lost Ark with him and David Goodman, too.
There you go. He was awesome. I mean, he's hilarious. He's just a cool guy. Barstool fan, all that kind of shit. And I mean, that's so fucking cool just to see your work about Star Wars get into a piece of Star Wars work. And I mean, who doesn't love Mandalorian? All right, like Mandalorian, excuse me. Like, love, whatever. It's fucking good. I mean, Mandalorian,
Kevin,
I'm
excited. We love it.
I love it. Every single week, I know I'm going to have entertainment. It's going to look cool. It's going to be Star Wars. And it's going to, like, advance the universe of everything. It's fucking good. We love it. We look forward to it every week. But yeah, that was awesome. I like, those are the little things, like the nods, and that's like kind of a deep cut because not everyone knows all those little, you know, Family Guy references and stuff like that. But that is one of those things. Like, I would hope there's a Kevin Smith joke from like a Clerks line or something, like, yeah, you know, my dad was on the Death Star and, you know, we lost our dental insurance because he blew up shit like that. It did feel kind of like a Battlefront level where you're just running around killing random stormtroopers. There's like three in this room, four in this room.
And I felt like that. I mean, we could get to it later, but when Cara Dune steals the speeder and they start like driving it off the cliff and the way they like spin it around, I was like, this seems like she's just playing a video game. This is like Battlefront, the speeder chase, all that stuff.
Exactly. This also, I wrote this down. We've had our, so like, you know, the MVP voting, it's the Russell Wilson armor is the MVP. Jetpack said, not so fast, my friends. The jetpack showed up big time today.
That's a good call.
As he started putting it together where he saved Baby Yo in the beginning, and you're like, all right, maybe jetpack can get the MVP here. Fucking, I'll tell you right now, flamethrower, heavy underdog.
That thing's getting relegated. Shout out to our new soccer fan, Troops. He's getting relegated.
He's getting relegated for sure. I also, anytime you throw lava in the mix, you have my attention. It's one of those things. It looks like it'd be delicious to eat. And you always don't know what the fuck it's going to do whenever, like, it's a video or whatever, that kind of stuff. Hot lava is one of those things that I just simply cannot understand how you could grow up anywhere in the world with this completely different upbringing, all this kind of stuff, yet everyone plays hot lava in their house. It's not like someone else taught it to you. You just like learn it on your own. It's, the ground is hot lava. I always find it just incredible that everyone fucking is terrified of hot lava, even though I probably don't live within like 100,000 billion miles of a volcano. And would it have killed Carl Weathers? We're in the middle of a fucking, or right outside of a star base or whatever it is with hot lava. If he could have just said, put a little bone in that, you got yourself a stew. Just give it to me, Carl. Give me a fucking Arrested Development reference. We have fucking, we're shouting out Family Guy. Let's shout out Arrested Development, another fucking great show. You're the one doing the episode. Give it to us, Carl. God damn it.
He did a good job, and we'll get into like some of the questions someone sent us. He was even tweeting about the episode afterwards, being like, great observation, so-and-so, and saying some things that were like, whoa, are you giving some stuff away, Carl? So I'm loving the Carl Weathers dynamic because he accidentally might let some stuff leak, and us as Star Wars fans, we love that kind of shit. So before we even move on with the episode, on the Kevin front, the Kevin and John, like, love, how about John Henry Feidelberg, Mr. Hey, you can't like the show because it's procedural. Mr. Olympus has fallen, Angel has fallen, London has fallen. Like, no shit, it's procedural. It's why you like the Fast and the Furious movies. That's why we like the Mandalorian.
The Fast and the Furious, there's like 100 of it's the same fucking movie every single
time.
Of course,
that's why we love it.
It hurt me. And the thing is, like, but this is the thing. Like, I also don't disagree with their take. It's like, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. Then became Kevin.
Their take seems like you're not allowed to love the show. Because they're like, it's not good enough for our taste for other people to love it.
Yeah. And it's like, this is a perfectly good show. It's like perfectly great. It's not. It's not fucking like Game of Thrones. Not like I'm like, oh my God, like,
of course not.
This is next level fucking like treachery. It's not like we're watching an episode of Empire Strikes Back every single week, but it's perfectly good. And this is the thing, like, we're coming in scarred from the last couple movies or last movie or just the way the whole sequels went, whether you loved them, hated them. It's just as a fan base, we're a fucking battered family right now.
We're rebuilding. To make a sports analogy, we're rebuilding.
This is what I want America to look like in 2021. We're going to come back together no matter what it is. We're not even talking politics. We're just talking about, like, once this virus is over, we're all going to fucking pick ourselves up by our bootstraps or whatever that goddamn phrase is, and we're going to move forward together. That's what I want. This, I feel like the Star Wars fan base. So that's the thing. If you come at the Star Wars fan base when we're having fun, like, we could talk bad about our movies, but if we see you as an outsider, like, don't you fucking talk bad about my quarterback. Only I can make fun of my quarterback. Only I can make fun of my brother snoring. All that kind of shit, you motherfucker.
Go
challenge him to run. You want to challenge him to Ruffin Rowdy? Can we do like a tag team Ruffin Rowdy?
Yeah.
That I got fucking Octagon Bob on my side, baby.
That would be tremendous. We'd be like Kane and X-Pac, the big guy and the little guy. All right, so right after they power down the cooling station, they start to escape, and they come across two Imperials trying to scramble this data. They're like, shut it down, delete all the footage, delete whatever. And they see the Mandalorian, they start just shooting it. They're like, fuck it, get rid of it, which I thought was interesting because I was like, this place is about to blow up. Why are you making sure that gets destroyed? And then we find out right after they die that there's a little more to this place. It's not necessarily a military operation. It is a lab. And this was discovered when they saw the doctor from season one who operated on Mando show up via hologram. And he's like, listen, the tests have not gone well, Moff Gideon. The bodies have rejected the blood once again, maybe due to their high M count. Like, we're going to need to find the child again because I was only able to extract a small amount of blood from him the first time. The episode might have felt like a side quest until now. And then this is when they string in the plot. And this is what we asked for last season. When everyone is saying, what do you want out of The Mandalorian season two? This is exactly it. Just throw in little things to thread the episodes together, thread the season together. You bring back the doctor. You make all that shit feel important when you do that. So I thought this was cool. Mando immediately is like, oh, fuck. He's like, I got to go get Baby Yoda. They're on to us. So he jetpacks off. Like you said, jetpack, big MVP. Yep. They all turned around. And before Mando even took off, they see like Bacta tanks almost. And there were clones in them. You couldn't really tell who the clones were. I even paused it, like zoomed in. To me, it looked like Snoke. It looked like he had the little like head thing. And then if that's the case, it's like, okay, is the Empire working to somehow get force energy from Baby Yoda, the M count, the midichlorians, obviously, and then convert it into a clone of the Emperor that would one day become Snoke? Are they trying to tie this together? Like Dave Filoni, think about what he did with the prequels, where they were what they were. People shit on them all the time. Then he made the Clone Wars. And by all accounts, everyone's like, he kind of made the prequels better because he threaded everything together. Is he trying to do that with the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy here? Being like, hey, here's how Snoke was created. Like Moff Gideon was the Emperor's guy to do that. This was a contingency plan. I don't know, but it excites me.
I'm excited as well. Someone who didn't love those movies, at least the last two, that will, like, again, I'm not going to go back and be like, well, they were fucking perfect now that, like, they explained everything. It's like, no, these guys are basically trying to, like, untangle the cords so then it's kind of makes sense to, you know, everybody. I heard M count and I saw midichlorians and I got, like, the fucking shiver down my spine. I'm like, oh, no, not this again. Like, it's just one of those things that we've been scarred. Like, the prequel scarred.
And you know they didn't say midichlorian for that reason. They're like, we got to think of a new phrase. Like, this is a PR thing now.
It being a lab, I was just like, oh, fuck, we're in trouble now. I had like a sinking feeling about that too.
Some cool sci-fi vibes there. Like, we don't get to see that a ton out of Star Wars. It's usually more like fantasy adventure in space, but this was straight up kind of alien sci-fi-esque.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. And I do like that we're like, we have an idea what the end game is and all that, but we don't know how it's going to get there. And if it somehow does tie back to the sequels, I will say this. As one of the more vocal critics of the sequels, the last two especially, I would welcome it with open arms because like those we can't ignore them if we're not gonna just completely redo them, which obviously Disney wouldn't do. we like that's what happens next on this timeline. We can't ignore it, so let's just fucking embrace it and steer into it. And I hope that everyone who's in the same line of thinking as me is thinking the same way. I haven't heard anyone being like, oh, I can't believe we're going down this road again. Again, make this shit, make it better through like you said, through Clone Wars, then made the prequels better. I'm 100% down for that. I also would like to say that I was the first person that took that stand against Star Wars, and I stood by it, and I look better now. Not that you have to agree with me. Just like with Game of Thrones, the final season, everyone hated on Game of Duels, and we were fucking ripping it apart, and we ended up being right about that. So I was right two times, depending on how, from a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view.
See? So I threw Obi-Wan in there. By the way, Obi Toppin, Nyx, number one, Obi-Wan.
I saw that. Yeah, it was the first thing I thought about. Yeah, huge win. Huge win. We're going to have to get some Obi-Wan jerseys made. I mean, when Jeremy Lin was on the Nyx, I brought a sign to a Linsanity game that said, to Linfinity and beyond, and it had his face on Buzz Lightyear. I might become an Obi Toppin stan now.
You have to. Ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. And Obi, I talked to Welks about it. I have to hear back. So I want an Obi-Wan shirt with a little lightsaber as the one. It does get tricky about Disney. You know, we don't want to get the fucking cease and desist. That is the Death Star coming at Barstool. We want no parts of that. So that's coming down the road. That's a little teaser for the future in terms of the store and the merch.
And another tease for merch we can make now. We have the Black Friday My Mom's Basement designs. They're in. This shirt going to be releasing on Black Friday. It's a shirt and a hoodie designed by Nathan Hurst. It's awesome. This is like, I'm so jacked up about it. I even texted Dave. I texted him a picture of it. And I was like, this is coming out Black Friday. Do you want this? And he said, big fire.
Yes. All right. That's when the big man says that, and the boss man says that, you know that shit's legit. Because Dave will just leave you on red. He doesn't give a fuck.
Exactly. So. When you text back, it's for real. So Black Friday, everyone look out for it. It's going to be on store.barstoolsports.com. I think we'll have a sale like we always do, probably throughout the weekend. Cyber Monday, we'll do stuff for that. But get it quick, because it does look like two characters that we really love from a television show made by Mickey Mouse, and they might come for our asses very quickly for it. So
exactly.
Look out for it. Follow us on Twitter. We'll tweet about it, of course, but it's awesome.
And that will be the tagline. This shirt is so good that Dave acknowledged Bob's existence.
Exactly. Gave me a text back. Crazy. I mean, it was great. My heart was racing even sending him a text. Like, should I be doing this? I don't know. But it wound up going okay. Baby Yoda is what unites the world. That's really what it is.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
All right, so as Mando goes to get Baby Yoda from the school, Cara Dune, Greef Karga, and the Mithril steal this troop transport. Like I said, they spin this thing around. They drive it off this cliff. It lands directly on the guy's spear. Poor guy totaled his car like I did to my mom's. And they get into a big speeder bike chase with a bunch of scout troopers. As a huge scout trooper fan myself, they're my favorite variant of stormtrooper. I love the speeder bike scene in Return of the Jedi. This was like extremely my shit. It was the coolest I think scout troopers have ever looked in live action, because obviously the CGI back then wasn't great, and we haven't really gotten them since. So this was really cool, and it was just kind of the whole ending of the episode was this chase scene. It goes from the speeder bikes chasing them to the TIE fighter chasing them. Eventually Mando comes in with the Razor Crest, very Han Solo style, to save the day. Awesome action sequence to end this one.
Yeah, I always liked the
scout troopers.
The scout troopers, yeah. I always liked the scout troopers, and I did feel like I wish I got more of them in the, I guess, all the trilogies or whatever the fuck you want to call the movies and stuff like that. The thing about them that, oh, I can never get out of my head though, like I always think they're kind of soft, is when that one guy gets thrown into the tree and he fucking like squeaks like a dog chew toy. Like, and I'm like, oh, these guys are soft. Like they have their little speed. They're like finesse guys. They're like a fucking wing basketball player that just has no muscle on him. They're not the stormtroopers are just straight fucking target practice.
Oh my. And so this episode, especially, they were like fucking Bantha fodder for real.
Exactly. So I know Jeff had said he was a big fan of them as well, and I feel like that's just the speeders are just cool as shit. I've always liked the speeders well, and I love that the targeting, we got like the old Millennium Falcon targeting computer, and like I never know, like I thought it like has like a database where it'll be like, oh, you're shooting at a TIE fighter, but no, it just straight up has like a human on there. I'm like, wait,
I know.
What the fuck
does I thought the exact right same now? Thing as you when they showed the guy throwing the grenade. He was about to throw the grenade down the hatch. I was like, oh shit, it's like for real. It's cool. Look at it. You can see him. No, so he's a scout trooper. I geeked out about that. That's like a true nerd geek out, you know.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Like, again, I think as fucking weird as that, like, the Millennium Falcon is one of my top three favorite Star Wars characters. And, like, just seeing that targeting computer, like, made me feel warm and fuzzy inside. And when that dude gets shot point blank by the laser, I love when someone gets hit by the hard artillery and just fucking blown. It's like Kim Jong-il shit when he used to, like, light up his fucking – I didn't like that. I'm anti – my mom's basement is anti-Kim Jong-il. Let me pump the brakes.
Let's make that very clear. Yes. We don't like that guy. Yes.
I don't think actually shooting your family members with, like, aircraft guns or whatever the fuck he does is right. But I do think it was fucking pretty gnarly in this episode when they did it. It was metal, to borrow a phrase from my co-host here. The dogfight, dogfights in canyons, that's fucking Star Wars bread and butter right there.
The Razor Crest and one TIE fighter eventually, like, go face-to-face. They play, like, a game of chicken almost. Razor Crest starts spinning. That was cool. And then they eventually get back to town. Everything's okay. The Razor Crest wins. I also liked they showed them watching the dogfight with binoculars, and they start cheering Mando in. Reminded me, there's a deleted scene in A New Hope of Luke Skywalker looking up at the Star Destroyers and wanting to join the war. And that was, like, immediately snapped into my head. I was like, oh shit, that's kind of what that looked like. So I geeked out about that. And then they go back to the town. Mando takes off right after Baby Yoda pukes on himself a little bit. He says, I got somewhere to go. He wants to go to Corvus. I believe that's the name of the planet. I think I called it Crouton last week, to find Ahsoka. And now an X-Wing pilot who we've seen before, he's kind of like a cop, is filing a police report on what happened. And he's like, so tell me about the Razor Crest. Grief Karg covers for our guy. He's like, there was no Razor Crest. They don't know what they're talking about. We're our own system, you know. Leave us alone, basically. He's like, all right, whatever. Walks out, talks to Cara Dune, and he says, we could use it in our military. You know, there's a lot of incidents going on out here that the Republic doesn't believe, which is another nice thing to connect the sequel trilogy and the original trilogy. Is like, how'd the Empire just reform? All of a sudden, they were the First Order. It's like they were reforming in the Outer Rim, and we're getting a line right here. Nobody believed them. So that was cool, just in a world-building aspect. And then we get what was honestly, like, the most bizarre, jarring, unexpected, worst question in Star Wars history. This X-Wing pilot looks Cara Dune in the face and says, I see you're from Alderaan. Did you lose anyone? Buddy. Did you lose anyone? She's from the planet. Have you seen anyone from Alderaan recently? Like, what the fuck kind of question? Of course she lost somebody.
I'm sorry. This sounds really bad after the Kim Jong-il stuff earlier. I'm laughing. It was the most preposterous thing. I'm like, shut up, dude. Like,
my jaw dropped.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, awkward things where someone, like, you know, if someone's, like, family member had passed, like, oh, how's your blah, 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 and then you're just like, oh, like, stop it. It was just like that, except, like, you know, 100 billion or however the amount of people in Alderaan was, and then I'm sorry for your loss. Like, to be fair, like, what else do you fucking say? Like, oh, your entire planet and everyone you ever know and loved, like, got wiped off the, you know, off the map by fucking the most unbelievable weapon we've ever seen in our lives. I guess that's, I'm sorry, like, oh, you grew up in Hiroshima. Like, did you lose anyone? It's like, yeah, I lost every goddamn thing, man. It was a fucking atomic bomb you assholes dropped on us. God, man, that was tough. That was really tough to watch.
It's like the first thing me, Ken Jack, and Jeff texted about after the episode. It was like 7 a.m. We were like, did you lose anyone? Ken Jack was like, he said it like he just went to New York and I was asking about 9/11. Like, it was like an isolated incident. Like, you might have known someone that was in the building. No, everyone on the planet died, sir. Well, like, what do you not understand about that?
The fucking Obi-Wan was having, like, heart attacks from fucking the Force just from, like, the feeling of it all. Of course you lost someone, you goddamn.
And this socially awkward X-Wing pilot don't know what's going on. You just, if you say, oh, I see you're from Alderaan, I'm sorry for your loss. That's what you say. That's how that goes.
Now, a Family Guy ever did, like, a Mandalorian episode, or even they do, like, a little flashback, I want this guy to be, like, the guy that always says the wrong thing at the wrong time. Like, this guy, we could build on this character here, where he just always asks the wrong thing to the wrong people, and it's like,
he sees Luke Skywalker, he's like, yo, Luke, can you give me a hand?
See, there we go. That was a little bit of a dad joking about Fox. I like that. But yeah, that was, I mean, honestly, I think that was maybe my highlight of the episode because it was so goddamn preposterous. But again, these are those little breadcrumbs from the past, or even the little breadcrumbs to the future, that, like, you don't beat it over our heads, but it is like, yeah, oh yeah, like, no one ever talked about Alderaan just getting fucking blown up. Like, that has never really been discussed. in all the different movies I've seen. I don't know if any of the shows did it, any other canon shit, but it's like, yeah, they blew a planet up. It was a big deal. I know the fucking space station then blew up as well, but fucking Alderaan blew up. And everyone, like, you had to know somebody on Alderaan, you would think, let alone if you grew up there. So, yeah, man, shout out to Cara Dune. That's a fucking, that was a tough one to swallow. Also, speaking of tough one to swallow, our boy Baby Yo just punking that dude from his cookie for his cookies. Loved it. Loved it. I kind of hope Baby Yo has a little bit of bully in him now. Like, the kid was holding his pocket like he was his bitch in jail. Like, don't fuck with the – he's cute. He also eats, like, frog. He's also, like, a genocidal maniac that will eat frogs whole. So I kind of like Baby Yo having a little bit of an edge to him, kind of like Baby Groot, you know? Baby Groot's just carrying fingers around and shit like that. I like a little bit of an edge with him.
Yeah, I like it because Jon Favreau said, like, they don't want to make him too cute. He's still an alien. He's still a species from another planet.
Yeah, exactly. And oh, that was the other thing. Fucking Carl Weathers, your best guy. Your best guy is a traitor. Like the fourth best guy could be a traitor. Not your best guy, Carl. You gotta have a better vetting process. If only we had like any of our job hiring sites right now, we could throw that as an ad. You know, like, you gotta have a better fucking guy than straight up traitor that fucking slaps a tracking device on the fucking Razor Crest, which sucks. I hate knowing that there's tracking devices on our stuff. It's never good. It just feels like you're always, it's like in fantasy. We feel like you start the week like negative 10. It's like, well, we're starting in the hole because the Empire knows exactly where we're going. Here we fucking go. Thanks a lot, Carl. Fucking shitty interviewer. Shitty interviewer.
That's the perfect way to put it. We feel like we're in the hole right now because as soon as that's the episode's ending, we see the alien is like, hey, I've planted the tracker. And then a sergeant goes to Moff Gideon, who's in this like super soldier hall. We don't even know about what that's going to be. People think dark troopers. I barely even know about what those guys are. But he goes in and he tells him, hey, the tracking device has been planted. And I immediately just went, oh, fuck. They're going to Ahsoka. They're going to lead him to the Jedi. Like, Ahsoka's been hiding for how long? It's just like, now this Mandalorian's going to show up and give away her position to everybody. She's going to be like, Jesus fucking Christ, buddy.
she's like, oh, hi, Mando. Nice to meet you, Ahsoka. And there's like 17 Star Destroyers, like, right by. I'm like, oh, my fault. I didn't realize they had the fucking oldest. That was the other thing. You know that fucking base is active. There was stormtroopers in it. There was people destroying shit like a kid when his mom walks in the room as it's fucking beating off. Like imagine that you just start like shooting your computer so your mom can't see what you're fucking looking at on your monitor. That's what I was thinking of when they were doing all that. So it's like, of course there's a chance they could have fucking planted something on you. Use your brain, Mando. Like, do a fucking sweep. Be like, all right, Carl, who are your best guys? That guy's probably a fucking traitor, you moron. I know, I think Dave said Gaz, his hiring track record has been sketchy, where he does the people who, you know, will fuck up something, tweet the wrong thing out and whatever. And he's also hired awesome people too. And I'm just like, I feel like it's Carl Weathers. It's like, Carl, you got to get your act together. You're doing a good job. You've turned this whole town around, but you can't have that one. We're as only as good as our weakest link right now, Carl. And guess what? That weakest link has the fucking Empire coming at Baby Yo, Ahsoka, fucking Mando, the whole goddamn crew. I'm not happy about this. It's fucking Empire all over again. We just can't catch a break. Hyperdrive's going to stop working. It's a grind, man. Empire is such a grind of a movie. It's just every time it looks like something good's about to happen, three bad things happen. Han Solo ends up in Carbonite. We're all fucked. I'm talking myself through this, Bob. I apologize for the rant, but
don't apologize. I was just about to say, I'm loving this Clem we got today, going on rants left and right. Go off, my king.
This season is not ending on a good note. I'm just going to put it out there now. This season's ending on a bad note. I am not feeling good about this. As I'm just like thinking of it, this is going to be our empires. I mean, how many seasons are there? Is there a number? It's probably, I imagine, open-ended, right?
Open-ended.
Just feel like we're going to be sad at the end of the season too, because this just isn't, like, when there's a tracking fucking device, it always ends in pain. It's like when I hear my kids laughing and running, I'm like, someone's going to end up crying within the next 10 minutes. And every single time without fail, that's exactly what happens. A fucking tracking device on a ship, someone's getting in fucking big doo-doo, whether they're frozen, dead, missing a fucking limb, something bad is happening to one of our favorites. God damn it. God damn, Carl.
Unfortunate, but the more you say that, the more I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't even think about this going into it. I didn't write the notes down, but fucking tracking devices are the goddamn pits, man. It's just when you have cooties. Like, how do you get rid of cooties? You just had to hit circle, circle, dot, dot. We didn't do it, and now we have cooties. Great. Thanks, Carl.
All right, let's get into questions. Our first one is from our guy, Nathan Hurst. This is a great question. He said, what is one minor character, animal, or Star Wars nod you guys want to see? Example, I would love to see some Tauntauns. I think Tauntauns are a good guess. I would like to see some more prequel stuff, to be honest. The way they've incorporated the prequel stuff so far with the super battle droids and the flashback sequence, everything that they showed us from that has been pretty cool, and they've like made it look cool in live action. So the more prequel stuff that you let Dave Filoni be in charge of, the better, I think.
Ooh, okay. I could get, again, if you're fixing prequel, sequel stuff, all that, all those little smaller things that can kind of make everything better. Actually, I almost went into a thing about the, I watched the Christmas special, the holiday Lego special.
I'll watch that so we could talk about it next week on the podcast.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. And there were some things there that they kind of made some, they poked some fun at, that definitely like some prequel-y stuff and whatever that makes it good. That's a great question. I would like to think
you know, those droidicas, like the ball droids, like show us like an updated version of those fuckers.
Yeah, yeah. My brain always goes back to this, and it would be a cheap way to go about bringing this place back, because it would be so out of the way. I don't like going to this place. Bespin's my spot. I left my heart in Bespin. It's my favorite movie. I want Lobot. All right, I want Lobot. I want Lobot just in the show. Rename fucking season end of season two. Our guy Mandalorian dies, like I'm saying, because of his tracking device. Then it just becomes the Lobot, and Lobot's going around with Baby Yo, and they're just having the time of their lives. He has his little fucking wraparound headset, and he's talking to fucking Lando. So yeah,
every episode opens with him just opening his eyes dramatically, powering up.
Like, it's just, he just, like, his eyes are closed, and then the bum, 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 and he just fucking.
Oh, that would be hysterical. So I think those are two good answers. I think Bespin's also a possibility. With it being the origin of, like, where we see Boba Fett pretty much in the original trilogy, I could see them wanting to throw a little nod to that. All right, James McDougal. This is a great question as well. What if the Mandalorian is just a backdoor pilot for the Ahsoka show, and Baby Yoda goes with her? Need some reason why neither of them are around in the sequels, and they also need an eventual separation of Baby Yo and Mando. You're already seeing that Mando has to leave the kid whenever big action is happening. Can we continue that for a whole series? I think this is a great question. There was some discussion about that early on. When we heard that Rosario Dawson was probably cast as Ahsoka, we learned that she may not just be a Mandalorian character. She may have her own show. The idea of giving Baby Yoda to her, that gets fishy, because then it's like, well, he's such a major part of the Mandalorian. If you give him off to Ahsoka, will that steal some of the appeal from the Mandalorian? Will it make it better? Will people want to watch the Ahsoka show more? I don't know. My heart breaks already thinking about the Big Daddy scene where Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian are going to be separated and he's going to go visit, but it's, you know, it's a little bittersweet.
Little Baby Yoda saying, I wipe my own ass. I wipe my own ass. As he's getting taken away with Rosario Dawson. Man, I haven't even thought about that as a thing. I mean, I feel like this is going to open doors. And again, no matter what doors it opens, I need the people at Disney, Filoni, whoever it may be, like let's pump the brakes and make sure this is the right move and everything is being done the right way, because you guys are doing good with this. No matter what those fucking goons at KFC Radio says, you guys are doing a good job with this. Aim small, miss small though. And let's not like green light another Solo off of all this kind of stuff, have another Solo experience off of all this, which I think we're in good hands right now. But damn, I don't like Baby Yo and Mando. That's peanut butter and jelly. We don't right. mess with, don't mess with that. You know what I mean? Which, by the way, did you see that thing that there was a crew member wearing jeans? Did you see it though? I didn't see it on the first watch.
I didn't see it on my three watches. So that's one of those things that I don't know how you see. That's like the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like the Starbucks cup, like once you saw it, you could see it. This is like, I'm like, guys, are we really going to be busting balls here? I feel like Game of Thrones has now fucked everyone over, where it's like, you are going to have some sort of an issue. And if I'm Disney, I'm just like, oh yeah, pandemic. We would have caught that, but it was like, as the entire like world was going to shit. So yeah, the guy who was editing that day, me missed it because of the pandemic.
That's, you know what I would do if I were Disney? I'd be like, fuck all you Star Wars fans. He's fucking canon now. That's what the Empire wears. That's like his role on this lab. Like, that's what they wear, you fuckers.
In the lab, it's business casual, guys. We've talked about this 1,000 times. If you read the books,
yeah,
you know, Shadows of the Empire, they mention it multiple
times. Star Wars fan once in a while.
So, and actually, while I'm talking about the episode, I had to ask. So those Darth Vader clone looking fucking things. They're just like super stormtroopers potentially. Is that with maybe with what they would like to have some sort of force sensitive blood going through them? Is that worth thinking?
I don't know if they want the force sensitivity for them or if they want it for Moff Gideon himself or if they're trying to make clones of the Emperor, because that was the tweet that Carl Weathers was like, ooh, interesting observation. Yeah. Somebody said, are they going to make a clone of the Emperor? And he said, interesting observation. That seems like the sort of thing that I don't even know if Carl Weathers knows where the show is going like that far in advance. That seems like a massive grand scale thing that I don't even know if Jon Favreau knows, but it would certainly be crazy if that's what they were going with. The Dark Troopers, which is what they're being called, Jeff told me that they're from Dark Forces, I believe, and they started as like genetically altered clones or stormtroopers in some way that were like super soldier stormtroopers, and the modifications went so wrong that some of them like killed themselves, and it was a dark, dark storyline. He said eventually they transitioned them to droids, and that actually transitions us to our next question from Teddy Houston. He says, which is more useless, a stormtrooper or a first series battle droid? Because honestly, I'm taking the droid if I had to. It is a good question. I think I might take a stormtrooper just because there were a few times in this episode, maybe the prior episodes, they were able to hit Mando, but because of the Beskar armor, just didn't do anything. So maybe their aim is improving a little bit.
I'm going fucking, I'll go your like a supervision answer. It's Captain Phasma. That's what I want to see. I want to see Phasma, and she's just the bumbling fool. And she, I mean, this is the thing. This is why I don't even get upset about Phasma. Everyone who's ever worked a corporate job, you just see the guy who like bumbles his way into promotion and promotion. He fails upwards. That's just what Captain Phasma did. So I love to see her as like this little stormtrooper, whatever. She stinks. Just as, she's like somehow even worse than the regular stormtroopers, but somehow, some way, she gets all the way up to that point where she has the shiniest armor, has a cool name, or played by an awesome actress, and she just stinks every time she enters the screen and just like bumbles over herself. So I guess that's my answer.
Maybe she inherited.
Wait, was that even the question? I feel like I just went off the script there on that one.
It was close enough. I feel like maybe she inherited that Beskar. She's like born with a silver spoon in her mouth, born with a Beskar spoon in her mouth, and that's why she worked her way up the ladder. Because even if she got shot, like it wouldn't do anything to her.
I like that. I like that Beskar spoon in her mouth. That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. And finally, Stephen Bear asks, do you think the endgame for the series will be Mando wielding the Darksaber and uniting all Mandalorians? This is, I mean, such a grand scale question that it's tough to answer, but it's fun to speculate about. I definitely think the endgame of the series is, like I've mentioned in the past, a Game of Thrones style. Who will be on the throne? But it will be who will wield the Darksaber. I think it'll be between Moff Gideon, the Mandalorian, Bo-Katan, maybe even someone else, maybe someone we haven't met yet, maybe a character yet to be introduced. I think that would just be an interesting way to take the show, especially seeing how well that formula worked for Game of Thrones, even though they screwed it up.
Yeah, I kind of have Thrones in my head now too. I mean, it's Endgame, we have Star Wars, and you have Game of Thrones. Those are three massive, massive things, which 2019, underrated year for content, right? It was a lot of wrap-ups or new beginnings. I feel like it's going to be Star Wars usually ends happy. Everyone's celebrating. There's fireworks going off. I feel like this one's going to be a Game of Thrones bittersweet kind of thing where it's like, it's not going to be the person we want. And maybe that person doesn't die, but it's going to be just because of the way the power vacuum goes or whatever. It may not be the best person, but it won't be the worst person. Maybe the most quote unquote deserving person or the best. The way I can't ever say this Batman line, right? Not the hero we need, but the one we have right now, whatever the fuck it is, that's going to be the person that wields the Darksaber in a really roundabout way. So I feel like that's going to end up being like, if not the end of the series, probably like maybe the climax of like season three, which may be like the biggest part of the entire show will be the way that all goes down. And I mean, Gus Fring is barely fucking in this shit right now, but the fact he's still lingering, you're like, oh, we're about to get some shit's about to go down here sooner or later.
I feel like once we get to Mandalore, the way Bo-Katan described it in the earlier episode, that might be like a whole season. We might spend an entire season just on Mandalore, and it might be, hey, this is where we are now. Like, we're going into the guts. We're going into the seedy underworld of it. We're going to the skyscrapers. Show us all the different aspects of it. That might be kind of cool.
That would be fucking awesome. That would be awesome. And I got a question for you. It wasn't the exact question. Our boy Frank the Tank said, are we going to get some sort of a cookie? First of all, we have to, like, a
Baby Yoda. The blue one?
Yeah, gotta get one. And what flavor are we saying here? It has to be Oreo, right? I figure it has to be a big enough brand that Disney will like, unless Disney just like does their own. Let's say Oreo. And it's kind of like, have you ever had those fudge Oreos, the white ones that come around Christmas time? I love those. I think they are tremendous. It's like tier one of holiday food to me. That, Little Debbie's Christmas cakes, Santa Cokes, the Christmas cookies with the peanut butter and the Hershey Kiss on top. Those are all tier one. We can go down a whole fucking rabbit hole if we talk about that. But I feel like there needs to be some sort of Baby Yo. I don't know what that light blue would be, though. It's like, what do you think? Is that like a...
I don't know. Like maybe a Nilla wafer, but like I have no idea. Jeff was describing them as like macaroons or macarons, whatever you call it. I've never had one of those.
I have. They are pretty good. And shout out to Jeff too, because I had no idea there was a difference between a macaroon and a macaron.
Me neither.
I thought one just had like, you know, coloring over or whatever. And even though I've had them both and they do taste completely different, I just never really thought of it that way. It's crazy that whoever invented the second cookie couldn't have just named it something completely different than a cookie that is basically the same thing. You got to have that kind of I will buy that Baby Yoda cookie the minute it comes out, and I will eat it, and I will try to make it move with the force. I'll do all the shit that Baby Yoda does. I was thinking a little minty. It's like that light blue is kind of like a
mint. I could see that. Spearmint or something. All right, folks, this has been a great episode, a great recap. Don't forget, on Black Friday, we've got some limited edition exclusive My Mom's Basement merch, little Mando inspired. There's a little Mando inspired MMB on the sleeve. It's awesome. You're going to want to get this stuff if you are a fan of The Mandalorian, if you're a fan of the show. If you want to get 3Chi, once again, the promo code is Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E. Use that at checkout and you'll receive 5% off your total order if you're 21 or older. And that's about it. Clem? I'll talk to you next week when we will recap not only the Star Wars Holiday Special, but the first ever Ahsoka live-action appearance in Star Wars.
Yeah, this is a big one for you guys, too. Like, you know, I'm going to enjoy it, but for people that, you know, had her in the cartoons and stuff like that, and I'm a Rosario fan as well, this is going to be a big one. Black Friday, it's going to be a lot of stuff cooking post-Thanksgiving. We'll be all eating our leftovers. I don't know when the fuck I'm going to be watching this episode, too. I cannot wait to see what I'm watching. I'll probably be doing 3 a.m. again. I'm going to be in a weird place on Tuesday night, I can tell you. I think so.
Yeah, our boy Joey Molinaro texted me, and he said this is the most anticipated Star Wars content for him since The Force Awakens. So that just shows you where the hardcores are at with the addition of Ahsoka to this show. We will talk to you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey.
You know my ex, so that makes it all feel complicated, yeah.
It all seems complicated.
I read those texts that you sent to yours, but I'll never say it, yeah.
I'll never say
you walked in my life at 2 a.m. 'Cause my boy's new girl is your best friend. Act like you don't see me, we'll play pretend. Your eyes already told me what you never said. Now we're in the backseat of the black car going home. When she asks me, is it wrong if I come up with you? We're both drunk on the elevator when I kiss you for the first time in New York City. Sorry, I won't apologize to nobody. You play like I'm invisible. Girl, don't act like you ain't saw me. Last year was a mess and how I acted was beyond me. But the past still revolves me. You text me, I ain't responding. But now shit's unchanged. Go our separate ways. But look at this damage you did to me. I still want nothing to do between you and me. Please don't say nothing, it all sounds so true to me. We don't got nothing to say. So that makes